Welcome to Faye's Knowledge. If you're interested in learning about business, marketing, and personal development, this podcast is just for you. And I say it's just for you because in order to fail, we have to be willing to try. And once you try to do things for yourself, now you're learning and gaining the experience for yourself, which turns into knowledge. So this is the right podcast for you if you're looking for business, marketing, and personal development information, because now you have a chance to learn from others that have been through what you're currently going through or currently having experience, and this is the place for you to grow and develop to help become the best version of yourself. Subscribe to this podcast, and if you really enjoyed towards the end, leave a comment on your biggest takeaway from this specific episode, so that way we can deliver more content, more audio, more videos that can not only help you in your journey but can help propel you. And by propel, I'm actually saying that can help grow and push you forward in your journey. Again, welcome to Failure's Knowledge. Enjoy this episode, and please don't forget to subscribe and wait towards the end and leave a comment about this specific video, your biggest takeaway from this.
And I knew if I wanted to get my license that I had to get through those three books that you're talking about. That a man fear what they don't know. And my mother, single mother, three boys. And I know we took our mother down. It was just a shock of what I had to do when I got here. You're not waiting on me. You're not. And if I don't know, I got to figure
one,
it out.
Every transaction is different.
I bite out more than I can chew, man. Everybody needs help. Everybody. I can see you doing something, whether it's real estate, podcast, whatever. You just want to do something.
What does failure is knowledge mean to you?
That's what you learn, man. That's how you learn from something.
Andre, man, I appreciate you coming on to the Failure is Knowledge podcast, man. I just want to ask you a random question.
Okay.
Why real estate?
Really, I got into real estate because I wanted to buy me a home, you know. And when I bought me a home, when I first bought my first home, it was a lot of questions I had. I got told to sign a lot of documents. I'm being told everybody had their own different opinion. And so I wanted to learn on my own. So the way I learned, I just went and studied. And then when I studied, that's what got me into real estate.
I remember when I was in, when we was in the Marine Corps, You was talking to me about real estate and how, like, man, you can go ahead and get your license. And once you get your license, you come and work with me. And during that time, I was doing real estate wholesaling. Well, I was learning about real estate wholesaling. And I was going to get my license, but then I had to study three different books. And the three different books, so many different pages. I'm like, yeah, I'm not about to do that. When you was actually going through the studying phases of getting your license, what inspired you to keep going?
So I just had a goal set. And I know, like, everything, nothing is free, right? So if I had to pay for the course, right? And I knew if I wanted to get my license that I had to get through those three books that you're talking about. So if I wanted to do something, so there was no way around it, right? So that would kept me motivated because I know what I wanted to do at the end of the day. And so those three books was in my way. Okay, let's hit those three books and keep pushing.
You make it sound easy, bro.
A lot of people say that, but I mean, my thing is you make time for what you want, you know? So, no, nothing is never easy, but, you know, I hit bumps in the road as well. But still, at the end of the day, that don't mean stop, you know? So it's about how bad you want it.
Okay. So let's go back in history, right? So when we met, you was already in the Marine Corps for quite some time. What encouraged you to join the service or to join the Marine Corps?
What encouraged me to join the Marine Corps, man, my kids, you know. I needed benefits, man. I'm originally from Memphis, Tennessee. And back there, man, I feel like if I would have stayed there, I would have went down the wrong path. So I had my kids, and I was like, I need the best benefits possible. And then I was like, hey, I'll join the Marine Corps. Little did I know what I was jumping into, but... But once I got it, every time I thought about getting out, I just looked at my kids, man, and that one made me stay and retire.
And how long did you do?
I did a little over 22.
22. I'm 26. Yeah. You did, what, a quarter of my life, man.
Hey. Good times.
Just like you mentioned that you know what you was getting yourself into. You know how, like, they have different YouTube videos online. They have different people, like, sharing about the service and about their time being in.
Right.
I watched two different videos. I'm like, man, don't think this is the life of. I don't understand the life because I'm not in the life. Me trying to watch these videos and get prepared for it's not necessarily helping me. It's actually
Right.
giving me anxiety. It's actually making me be more overwhelmed than I ever needed to be. How did you step into what you did not know when you joined the Marine Corps?
So the thing is that a man fear what they don't know, right? So I just, like I said, I know what I know what my end goal wanted to be. You know, I wanted to start a foundation for my family. You know, I wanted to have my kids with me 24/7, right? So I have to go through boot camp. Okay, go through boot camp, Dre. No, it's not, I make it sound easy. It's not easy. Boot camp was, you know, it wasn't easy and wasn't hard either, but you know, I knew I wanted my end goal was to have my kids. So if I got to go through 3 months of somebody yelling and some good training going on, okay, let's get to those 3 months because at the end of the day, I still get my kids.
How many kids you have?
I have three.
You have three. What's the oldest?
Oh my God, you want some math? My oldest is 28, and my
Okay.
youngest is 28, 26, and 19.
28, 26, 19. Okay. The reason why I asked that is because I was raised by a single mom and she
Okay.
raised three boys by herself. And I'm a twin, so my twin brother is 26 years old, and my oldest brother is 28.
Okay.
And the reason why I'm asking that is because, like, as I get older, I start to see, like, and understand more about life, understanding about different situations, and surviving. My mom was a single mother with three boys. And to this day, I'm still surprised on how she did that. Like, how were you able to provide for three boys, yourself, a house, a car, and still be okay? And it goes to show, like, when you're pursuing a particular goal, when you're pursuing a particular thing that you have in your mind, nothing's going to stop you.
Right.
How did you learn how to get out of your own way in order for you to accomplish what you wanted to?
And it's crazy that you mentioned your story, man. My mother, single mother, three boys. And we know, I know we took our mother down through there, man. That's a strong woman. And so I think that's why I got a lot of my work ethic. Even before joining the Marine Corps, I learned a lot of good work ethics and values. And she still lets me know that to this day. She was like, "Baby, you never quit. Like, no, not no matter what, because that's how you raised me, woman. That's how you raised me." So, I think I get a lot from her. You know what I mean? So, just going back to that, just her being raising three bad boys, and we were not good. The good woman right there.
Phenomenal, phenomenal with me, man. What were you, middle child or oldest and youngest?
Man, I'm the baby. I
You're the
got three.
baby.
Yeah, I'm the baby. I got older brothers, man. I got three older brothers, man. Yeah.
Dang, I'm the middle. I'm the middle.
Okay. You the cool one. Nah. I'm just playing.
What is it? You're the little big brother.
I guess. I guess, man. I guess. I'm just surviving like everybody else, my guy.
Just surviving is crazy. Just surviving is crazy. But like you, I'm from down south. I'm from Little Rock, Arkansas, because you mentioned earlier that you was from Memphis.
Okay.
Where did you go to boot camp? Did you go to San Diego or Parris Island?
I was out there in San Diego, man. Yeah, they sent me out that way.
How was that transitioning from being raised in a small town, Memphis, Tennessee, where there's a lot of people there? Then you go to a big town, big city, and now you're transitioning from a small town to a bigger town. How were you able to adjust to that?
So I think my transitioning is my story is a little different. Okay, because I joined late. I was already 25 years old. I was turning 25 in boot camp. So before that, I had went to college. So when I joined the Marine Corps, just going over there from, you know, from down south going to West Coast, I was used to it because it wasn't nothing crazy because, you know, I've been to college. You know, I was older. I had more experience. So it was just a shock of what I had to do when I got here. Because I'd never been in the military, so I just had to learn that aspect of it. So just took it in stride because again, I was older. I had already experienced, you know, traveling. Like I said, I went to Mississippi Valley State University, even though I'm from Memphis, Tennessee, you know, so I was already used to moving around.
You made me think about when Jay-Z started rapping or started his rapping career. He started at the age of 26.
Right.
He was like, that he's more mature. He's been through life. He's not just rapping about what everyone else is rapping about because he has more life. He has more experience. Now that I'm 26, I understand exactly where y'all coming from.
Now that you're 26. Okay. Okay. Nothing wrong with that.
Well, so what encouraged you? Okay, yes, you was in college. Yes, you already had the experiences prior to joining the Corps, but what encouraged you to join it? Like, this is the moment I'm doing. I know you mentioned about the benefits, but was it something that sparked you? Was it only about the benefits that encouraged you to join?
Honestly, man, I tell you, honest to God, truth. I watched the movie John Q, bro. And when I saw what he went through, you know, he was selling everything in his house to, you know, for his son to get benefits because of the LPO, whatever kind of insurance he had.
Yeah.
Whatever, he had to sell everything. And that, like, that really, like, touched me, man. And I already had kids. I was like, yo, what are you going to do if your kid that you have eventually we find out years later that has a heart problem? What are you going to do? What kind of benefits are you going to have? So I was like, military. Military got the best benefits. I'm paying with blood, sweat, and tears, but I'm not paying deductible like everybody else, right? So yeah. I had no problem sacrificing my body for my family. Mm-hmm. So that what made me, that what sparked the moment. When I saw that movie, John Q, I was like, I'm gone. I got to do something different. I got kids now. It's not about me, you know. And if I stayed on that path I was on, I was going to get in trouble. So that what sparked me to join the Marine Corps.
When you mentioned John Q, the first movie that I thought about, I knew it was Denzel Washington that was in that movie, but mm-hmm. then I was like, dang, John Q. Then when you mentioned about the heart, about his son having the heart issue, and I was like, yep, I remember it. I remember it.
That's a heartfelt story.
It was a heart, man, old man. Denzel Washington played that part so well. He made the story come out to life. He made the film feel like it was a real thing going on, which there is around the world.
Right.
And you're able to see and get inspiration, not only from your mom, not only from your brothers, but you're able to get inspiration from everybody. Were you always outgoing as a child? Or were you always outgoing to help you get the inspiration? Or did the inspiration just naturally come?
I like having fun. And I used to dance a lot. I ain't even lie to you. I used to dance as a kid. I was hyper. But I just think over time, just life, just seeing that, you know, you got to work for stuff. You know, everybody want things. Like, one of the things that remind me, man, Kevin Hart, man, he had said, what he did one of his stand-ups, everybody want to be rich, but don't nobody want to put the work in. Man, that's why I say it to myself. I be saying it to myself. I say, everybody want to have that money, but don't nobody want to put the work in. Are you willing to put in that work? So that's the kind of mentality that I have. Man. So that's what kept me. So I had fun as a little kid, man. Like I said, I used to be around, but after a while, I just started seeing that if you're not going to do something, you know, who's going to take care of you better than you? So I know if I want something, I got to work for it. So that's why.
And your mama was the example to follow.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mama D did everything. Yeah, Miss Davis, Brenda Davis did a lot, man. She did what she could to make it work for us, man. And that's why I get a lot of my work ethic, man. Like I said, if she didn't do it for us, who was going to do it for us, right? Mm-hmm. We was young kids trying to grow up, asking for the world, asking for big Christmases and all it is, not knowing nothing about adulthood and all this money and stuff she got to pay, you know, and all of that. So that's how I look at it. So who's going to do it if I don't do it?
And not knowing how expensive everything is, how
right
boys can eat, you know what I mean? And
man,
recently, a couple months ago, so now that I'm older, I get to ask mama questions, like, because I understand more.
Right.
So I'm asking, I called my mama Betty Vet. I said, Betty Vet, you ever, because I think we watched a movie or something like that. I said, you ever went to sleep hungry? She was like, son, yeah, multiple times. Man. I said, wait. You fed us, but you didn't eat. Why did you do that? She was like, son, that's all we had. I'm like, that's crazy.
Yeah, man. Like people ask me, man, you did 20 years. Bro, every time I was about to get out the Marine Corps, every time one of my kids got sick. At the end of every list, man, my last enlistment before the time before the last time I signed the papers, I wasn't finna sign the papers, bro. And my kid got sick, and I signed the papers the day before the last day, because I wasn't finna stay. Every time, man, one of my kids got sick, every enlistment, bro, and I got the benefits, and so I just signed the papers again.
God, don't every time. So
every time, bro,
and it's so unexpected.
Man, every time. That's why I was like, I had so many questions, but you know, I just roll with it every time. Every time I wanted to get out, even after my first 4 years, I need the benefits for my kid. After the 8 years, I need benefits. You know what I'm saying? Every time I needed something, I was like, man, it was for them. So I get where our parents are coming from.
That's, man. We don't have kids yet, but in the future, I understand more now than I did before. Jeez. and by the way, happy belated Father's Day as well, too, man.
Oh, thank you, man. Thank you. I appreciate it. I had a go with me. Sure.
Absolutely. So when you're facing the uncertainty of the unknown, you mentioned this earlier, when you were unsure about the Marine Corps, not necessarily unsure, but when you would know what you was getting yourself into, how do you handle the things that you don't expect to happen?
I pray, bro. I say a prayer. I ask for strength, bro, for real. Seriously, a lot of people don't even really know that, but I pray. Seriously. If I'm going to something I don't know, like I said, a man pray what they don't know. You dig? So if I'm going into a situation and I'm not sure, I just pray about it and I'll be all right. For real. Pray and just go.
Okay. Like I mentioned earlier, it sounds easier than it is, right?
Right, right.
But I understand the amount of work that goes into understanding more on how to look at life differently. What work did you put into to have a better understanding of what you're getting yourself into?
I had to slow down. I had to just really look at what I wanted to do, why I wanted to do it, how I was going to do it. The 5 W's, just like the core, man. I looked at the 5 W's. When I looked at something, I wanted to, like, okay, you want, all right, this is what you want to do. Just like I ain't going to go there. But you got to be motivated to do some things, right? So if I wanted to know why, and I need to know what it takes to get there, just go. Nothing in life is, but you're going to have bruises, bumps and bruises all the time. I tell my kids, right? It's going to get harder. I'll tell you right now, it's only going to get harder as you get older. Nothing gets easy. It's just how you learn how to roll with it. You know what I mean? And how to prepare yourself. We talk about preparing ourselves, you know, and how to be educated about it. So that's what just kept me. I know my end goal. Nothing is perfect, man. I didn't hit so many bumps and bruises, but what I'm gonna cry. Yes, I cry it out. Yes, I scream it out. But am I gonna stay there though? No, I'm human. Yeah, I have emotions, but I just don't choose to stay there. I stay focused on that goal. I told my wife the other day, I get tunnel vision. So. That's how, man. It's not easy. No, I'm watching my mouth, but it is absolutely not easy. Mm-hmm. But if I do it, if I did it, you can too. Anybody can. How bad you want it?
That is true. That you mentioned that you had bumps and curves while you were going along the journey. What was the failure that taught you more about yourself?
So I think, like, when people was trying to communicate that, so I was still in the Marine Corps with real estate, right? And so people were still trying to communicate with me, but I still had to be a Marine. I still had to be a leader. I still had to, you know, stay with that battle rather. And so I was missing contact, missing phone calls, replying to emails late, missing clients going somewhere else because of responsive time and this and that. So I just had to, after that, I was like, hey, time management now. Hey, this is what you want. How you gonna manage your time, right? So what I did was I started really crazy. When I woke up in the morning, I sent emails. I grabbed my phone, man, and sent emails to my bed before I even got up. And then I get dressed to work. And I just started managing my time so I would not miss anything else, man. If I knew I had my battle rhythm for the Marine Corps, I didn't have anything scheduled on that time. I didn't wait to say, sorry, I can't make that. No, hey, here's my schedule. This
Hold on, your the volume went out. I can't hear you. The volume went out. All right, there we go.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. I can hear you.
Sorry.
Last thing I heard was the time management.
Yeah, I just had to just manage my time. Because I was missing clients, I was missing phone calls, missing emails. So once I had my battle rhythm in the Marine Corps, I never scheduled anything around it.
Once you had the what? What is it called?
I called my battle rhythm in the Marine Corps. Like, I knew I had meetings on Mondays. I had this on Tuesdays. I had this on Wednesdays. My weekly schedule. I just did battle rhythm because you just talked about the Corps. Once I had my weekly schedule with the military, when I was dealing with real estate, I just didn't plan anything around it. So if I knew I had meetings and I knew we was going to the field and this and that for that week, I just managed around it. If I knew something was going to take like 30 minutes, I'd do it during lunch. You know what I'm saying? If I knew something could take this long, I could do it, you know, doing lunch, driving home, going to work. So I just started managing. Then that's how I started noticing I was staying on top of everything. So I was able to project. I wanted to be proactive than reactive.
You know what's so interesting? When I was in the Corps, and before I got out, I think I had 18 months left. And then, no, not even. Oh, wait, hold on. I got out in 2022, around like 2020. So, yeah, 18 months to 24 months time frame. I started learning more about what I'm doing today. And so, of course, when you're learning something new, you have to learn everything. You have to learn the basics. You have to learn what it means. You have to learn the point of it, the reason behind it, the why, and so on and so forth. And so I literally remember, because I stayed off of base, and I stayed in Vista, California. And okay, that drive there from Vista, California to Camp Pendleton is like 30 to 35 minutes.
Right.
So rather than me listening to music, let me listen to some podcasts. Let me listen to some people that was in real estate. That's when I came across a guy named Max Maxwell. You ever heard of him?
Not off the top of my head, man. Not off the top of my head, but keep going.
Okay. He was into the real estate wholesaling. And okay, so I'm driving to work. I'm listening to him, watching different videos. And I'm like, man, he's explaining how to get into real estate. He's showing the process. I'm not watching videos while I'm driving. I'm just listening. And of course, when you're in the Corps, you don't have time to do anything because you don't recognize the time that you have. But then, right, I start to pay attention, like, hold on. We have a certain amount of time to be there before we get there early. We got lunch. We got after. Like, you make time for what you want. And then I start to recognize, if I want to prepare for my future, I don't know what's going to come from this. I need to start preparing today. And I didn't know it was called time management during that time. I was just thinking about it was called making time for what you want.
right. Yeah, hey, same thing. Same thing, man. But you learned that, though. See what I'm saying? Same. So, and that's why everybody, and I don't mind telling people how I did it. You know what I mean? Because only 85% of people listening anyway.
Yeah. Would it say people want to be successful? Mm-hmm. I just lost. Oh, there we go. People want to be successful. And then what is it called? People want to be successful until they get hit. And then when they get knocked down, they want to be successful no more.
Yeah.
It's not easy. It's not easy to change your life. It's not easy to put yourself in a position. It's not easy to do that. When you start to really adjust your time accordingly and really use the time that you have, what shift did you see? Did you notice?
Man, you are frozen.
Oh, man.
Hold on. Can I see you?
Hello. Let me see.
Okay, I got you now. All right, say that again. I'm sorry, brother. You was frozen while you was talking. I was trying to fix the phone.
I'm good. My bad. But so I was asking about, time management. Okay, when you start to recognize that you was managing the time that you have, how did everything shift for you? How did it start working for you in your favor?
How it shifted in my favor, man, I was able to spend more time with my family. You know, because I was always in that get it mode. I need to get this deal, and so I could be spending time with the family. And I know I'm going. I got a phone call. I just run away. You know, And that can, cause that can start, you know, trouble in the house too. You own the real estate, but what about your kids? You know, I ain't got time for that, right? So it turned in my favor for that, right? And then people, it was a positive response because I was providing information before people even had to ask me for it, especially once I knew what was going on. Now, if I ever hit a bump and I didn't know, that was one thing, but I was so used to feeding information because I don't want anybody waiting on me. I hate that. Doing a transaction, somebody said, "Well, we waiting on this guy." No, you're not waiting on me. You're not. And if I don't know, I got to figure it out, you know. So that's why I try to feed all that information. And so that it came, everybody was used to getting information from me. They knew if I had it, I would give it to them. And I was able to spend way more time with my family. And then it brought down stress because I was trying to manage so many things. So that's how I paid in my favor.
So your biggest failure turned into the greatest lesson that you ever had to witness or go through.
Pretty much. For the most part. I ain't gonna say one of my failures, not my greatest failure, but one of my failures.
So what is your greatest failure?
Hey, that's another topic on another day. That's another topic for another day, man. But
Understood.
this here, this was definitely a learning experience from failure, though. But yeah, we talk about that one another day.
Understood, understood. And the reason why I asked that is because people see your success, people see your consistency, people see that you're closing deals, that you're getting clients, that you're communicating with clients on a consistent basis, but they don't see what you have to go through. They don't pull behind the curtain, they don't open the door, they don't step into your world. Then when they start to step into your world, they start to see you have to do a lot of things.
Right.
How do you stay grounded by everything that you have to do so you don't get overwhelmed?
Because I don't forget what I remember, man. I just try to, a lot of times I try to put myself in somebody else's situation. I remember how I was when I first started out real estate, when I didn't know anything. You know, when I was worried about this, when I was anxious to get my first deal, when I was, you know, trying to find clients, when I wrote my first offer, you know, I knew, you know, when I got my first offer accepted, you know. I remember how I felt then, man, and what I wanted to know and what I needed to know, and I didn't want people looking at me because in real estate, people don't want to talk about it, but they look you up, right? And they can look you up and they can say, they can tell, oh, he just got his real estate license. He green. We're trying a fast one on him. No, you're not. You can think that if you want to, first of all, the realtor 9 times out of 10 just took the test, so they still got the knowledge in their head. They just don't know how to apply it. Right. And so that's where we come in at, right? As a productivity coach, that's where I come in at. I'm gonna teach you how to do that. You know. Oh yeah. Because man, it's a cold world out here. It really is. And so I put myself in that position. That's how I do it. If I would want somebody to help me, I try to help that person just like that.
Because you remember being in their shoes.
Right. Trying to figure out not knowing anything. So that's why. Because that's not a good feeling, man. Especially when you're trying, and that's how a lot of people get distracted, man, and stop focusing on their goals. Because when they're trying to do something, if it don't go the way that they think it's supposed to go, right, they get distracted and then they forget and then they quit. But if you're coming in, I'm like, no, yeah, you did that wrong. We ain't doing that again. All right, so we're gonna do this now.
So recently, every time I host a podcast episode, I go off script. I go off script, and what that means is that now, since you're the profession in real estate, let's just say hypothetically speaking, I come to you like, "Hey, Andre, I want to get into real estate, man. What are the first 3 steps that I need to do? Minus take the test. We know everybody got to take the test to get their real estate license. Minus that. If I was coming to you and say, I want to get into real estate, I've already taken my test. How would you
Okay.
guide me to get
So
into real estate?"
you come to me already licensed and everything.
Yep.
How would I guide you? Oh boy. First I'm gonna make sure that you know the systems. You know, because you so cause taking it's a process because once you take the test, you get your license. Now you got your license, you still have to pay your dues. You have to become a member, a board member, right? And then you have to get you got to get the zip form. So you have to pay for your car forms, right? Your real estate forms. So that's you pay. I say roughly. Let's say 1,000. I say you pay 1,000. Now you got your forms together. I just got first. I'm gonna teach you how to work the system. Because you can be out there talking real estate all day long, and then somebody, yes, I want to buy a house. Yes, I want to. Yes, I want to. I'm going to go right now. And then what you going to be like, what's this? Hold on. Let me call you right back. Let me find the system. That guy's going to, that guy or girl or, you know, they're going to go. They're going to be like, okay, who is this guy? You know? So I'm going to teach you the systems. Once I teach you the systems and the background with the back office, if you will, about real estate, then, you know, you still have conversations about real estate. There's nothing wrong with that. But, you know, you still have to know the basics. Like you said, the basics. For when you get up, make your bed. You want to talk about real estate, you need to know how to work the MLS. If you don't know how to work the MLS, what are you doing? You know how to work your mouth. Because if somebody come ask you for a house, how you or criteria, or they want information or forms or documents, if you don't have it, what are you doing? You going to give a referral and let somebody else get that? Okay, yeah, refer them to me. So that's why I teach them the basics, seriously. Because if you don't know the basics, man, you're not going to be able to jump out there. And a lot of people don't. That's the problem. A lot of people get their real estate license, right? And then they just, the broker, they join a brokerage. And they say, all right, go sell houses. Then now you're trying to ask questions. They just tell you to go sell houses. Now you got to figure it out. And don't do nothing bad and end up getting sued. It's California, man.
That's bad.
It is, man, seriously. But, you know, that's why. I just remember how I was eager to learn. I was eager to get going in real estate. And I was fortunate. I had my cousin, my broker, Michael Davis. He mentored me. But I remember I was hungry because he was like, man, what are you doing? Slow down. Like, you know, I'm on that military, that Marine Corps time. I'm like, man, I want it. Let's go. He's like, man, you got to slow down. So the next person that come in that's hungry, right, and it really want to know real estate, that's what I plan to do. You know, because I know how it was when I was just sitting there just waiting on people.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy. And you can tell your expertise, you can tell your level of experience based off the way you just broke that down. There's a saying that goes to say that if you can't break down what your profession to someone that don't even understand what they're doing, then are you really a profession? Are you really a professional? And so you made me think about when I got into real estate, and when I was trying to do real estate wholesaling, when I was trying to call homeowners, and I didn't understand that if you're only focusing on one homeowner, it's going to take a while for you to close. Whereas if you have many homeowners that you're reaching out to, it can close at different times. And so when I first started working with my mentors, Mike Imbruglio and Steve Anderson, it was teaching me about not only just sales, not only just marketing, not only just communication. They was teaching me how to understand what I was doing. And shout out to Steve Anderson, because he was the one that was watching me a lot. And when I was cold calling, he was like, Terrell, he said, you sound like a kid. I was like 23 during that time. I'm like, what you mean? I sound like a kid. I'm like, I'm just talking. He was like, bro, these are older people that you are talking to. These older people that you're speaking with, they can hear that you're 23 years old. And at the time, I'm like, I don't understand that. Like, how they know I'm 23 years old on the phone? Like, they don't know me. And he gave me a scenario. He was like, you know what a construction worker sound like? I said, no. He said, well, I want you to sound like a construction worker. I'm like, how do they sound? A
construction right.
Hired and they just got off of work. I'm like, I don't know that. And so he's teaching me about real estate. He's helping me understand real estate. He's testing me, and I'm really failing a lot. How important is mentorship in everything that you're doing?
Man, extremely, man. Extremely. It's so many. Getting a license is just a step of it. Once you start doing transactions, even to this day, man, I have my broker look over my contracts before I hit send. Because one, every transaction is different. There's not one. Out of all the transactions I've had, none of them is the same. Not one. They're close, but not one. So I still have my broker. And I have my license for 4 years. Yeah, 4 years. And I still have him look over everything because he's my broker. You know, he's been in the game way longer than me. He's been in the game 20 plus years. So it might be some stuff that I don't know. So that's how I express that you need to have mentorship in real estate, because you can check the wrong box, don't check the right box. Then you tell your client this and tell them that, and then you get smacked with this, right? And guess who signed that contract as a realtor? You are. You did. And you responsible. Now you got to go tap dance. But hey, I thought I did this. Yeah, but I didn't. And then now you, and that can be thousands of dollars, man. Hundreds of thousands of dollars because somebody thought they was going to get one thing and they didn't. And now you are responsible for it because you signed the contract. You're the relative.
And that's where you learn how to slow down.
How you doing? I sure did. That's how I learned to slow down, man. Because everybody, yeah, you just slow down. I'm not getting it. No, you're not getting me like that.
They say the best teacher is the job on the training, because you learn more about the things that the book doesn't cover, that the courses doesn't cover. Right. Like, the more you're doing real estate, the more you're doing the job, the more you're doing the profession, the more you will understand the smaller details that a lot of people don't speak about.
Right. I'm telling you, man. Yeah, because the book, knowing the passing test is just one thing. It's hands-on. The OJT, man, on-the-job training. Because like you said, you do one deal, and you be like, oh, yeah, let's go next and bring it in. You be like, what's this? You know what I mean? I was real estate, my boy. Keep it going. Keep that same energy. Now you just got, but it's a learning curve you're going to hit. But he's going to be all right.
Okay. When you hit your learning curve, when you're filling out the applications, when you actually start to work with clients, you're building momentum, you're seeing the results, you're getting success, short success that you're getting. How did you not let the mistakes stop you from keep growing, keep developing?
I knew I'm not slow. I knew I was new to the game, so I knew it was a lot I had to learn. So I expected, you know what I'm saying, some bumps and bruises. And I had some I wasn't expecting, but I knew that this is a big, real estate is a big industry, and I know nothing about. So I know I'm going to take some face shots and this and that. But it's okay. That's what's going to make you, that's what helps you learn. So that's why I expected some of them, and the military and my upbringing prepared me a lot. So I expected some of it. You got your known knowns and you got your known unknowns. So I was able to roll with the punches, man, at the end of the day.
Okay. You mentioned that you have productivity. What was that?
Productivity coach?
Productivity coach, yes, yes, yes.
And so that's just...
Go ahead.
It's just me coaching realtors as they join our brokerage, so they can know how to become a successful realtor. You know, just the basics, man. You know, and the thing is, don't have to be people who do cold calling, door knocking. You just have to find your niche, man. That's what it is. And because I don't cold call, I don't door knock. I'm social media. And then I just know people. I don't like it. I'm not doing it.
You just made me, you just, what is it called? You bring back PTSD, man. In real estate, before I even got into real estate, I'm just thinking it's one particular thing, like one niche, one type of owner that you're going out to. You have vacant owners, you have land owners, you have multifamily owners, you have the houses that's not in good condition.
Distressed homes, man.
Distressed home, man. Oh my God. You talking about niche, bro? I'm trying to talk to everybody.
Yeah. But what I meant, niche in like your spirit, that, you know, like who you're around all the time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I know everybody's on social media. Everybody. So rather you see me, you'll see me. If I'm friends with you, or you friends with somebody that's friends with me, I keep my face out there so people know who I am. So when you think of real estate, you'll see me. All right, and I'll be like.
Your specialty, you're specializing in social media. How did you learn how to specialize in social media to grow your real estate business?
trial and error, man. I was really, so like before real estate, I mean, before social media, where is that now? I was trying to like just do something different, right? So young Marines, man, everybody on their phone. So I was like, hey, Instagram. Oh, you don't have an Instagram, Malcolm? No, I got one now. Now I got an Instagram. Hey, how do you make these posts? Oh, well, you do that. I caught the young generation, man. And then they showed me, and then they were like, oh, you got to get this. Oh, okay, cool. And then I got my 19-year-old son that's still here, right? He was young, on video games and all this tech, right? Cool. Hey, Dad, you know you can do a video and make it do this. Oh, really? That's how I got tapped into the younger generation, man.
You're separating yourself. You're distinguishing yourself. But what has your kids taught you about success?
My kids taught me about success. Mm-hmm. It's so much me teaching them about success, man. They ain't, my thing is that I tell them don't let it go to your head, you know, because they just see a lot of things that I do and what I can provide and do for them. But, you know, I just say never get comfortable. So I don't let them go to your head. Tell them don't let it go to your head, man, because when you start doing that, that's where you mess up at.
Okay.
In my opinion. So, I mean, other people got their opinions, but don't let it go to your head, man. Keep grinding like you don't have it. Keep grinding like you broke.
Wow.
Keep grinding like you broke. You can have all the money in the world in the bank. Keep grinding like you don't got it. That's what it is. There you go.
So the reason why I asked, what has your kids taught you about success is because, of course, I'm 26 years old. And one thing that I've learned while being on the journey is that we learn from everybody. Everybody right. has their own way of operating. Everybody has their own way of thinking. And so that's the reason why I asked you that question. But I'm glad that you said I teach them not to let the success go to their head.
Yeah. And they seeing that hard work, you know, especially my youngest one here, you know, he's seeing that, he's like, Dad, you got to do this. Dad, you studying for this. Dad, you got to go here. That, you know, and he just looking at me like, you know, I'm like, yeah, man. But, you know, you'll see the reward and the benefit later, you know. And then he's like, oh, Dad, I forgot you had this. Yeah, son, you remember that time that I was running around, I couldn't make this, I couldn't make that, or we was just in passing and this and that. That's what it is. And then he'd be like, oh, cool. And they understand because I communicate with my kids.
Okay. Did you learn how to communicate with your kids from the Marine Corps, or you learn how to communicate with your kids just over time?
Over time, because all of them different. All of them are different. Everybody got their own personalities. The way I talk to my oldest, I cannot talk to my youngest. And then I have a daughter. So my daughter, I cannot talk to my daughter the way I talk to my boys. So that just came over time because they all different. They all have different personalities, man, so I can't. Yeah, I just talk to them different over time.
Okay. So we don't have kids just yet. And as I was in Subway, and it was a mom and dad, and they had two boys and one girl, but they was young. They was like two, three, and then the little baby was like maybe a couple months, not a couple months, like maybe 18 months, give or take. And the mom was on this side, and the dad was on this side, and the three kids was right here, like mm-hmm. I said, excuse me, I don't mean to bother y'all, nothing of the nature, but y'all are great parents. The fact that y'all do that, like, I didn't understand it. And he was like, as long as they stay right here, they mm-hmm. if they go out, they not okay. I said, oh.
Got to keep them contained, man. You know, we can't be moving out free will and whatnot. Yeah. Absolutely.
Why was it important to learn how to contain yourself?
Because I bite off more than I can chew, man. I be taking on more than I can chew. And still to this day, my wife think I'm doing more than what I should be doing. But she do recognize the fact that I have calmed. I stepped a couple of feet back, you know, and slowed down because if I take on more than I can do, I'm going to get frustrated when I can't complete it. And then frustration, then I'm going to start blaming people, you know what I mean, along with myself. But just because, you know, just nature of people. They blame it. Well, if I wouldn't have been doing this, just nature of people. Then that's going to cause a strain on my family, my marriage. We need all that. So Just had to weigh. I weigh the pros and the cons, man. You know, is it worth it? Is the juice worth the squeeze? No, Dre, step back some. Okay, step back, and then you. And then I found that, you know, what I do get accomplished is not better, but smoother, if you will. Yeah, because I slowed down and took a step back.
I was just about to say, I would say because you slow down, you're watching, and then you're not in much of a hurry to accomplish it, but you're letting it come in the time that it's supposed to go.
Right. Because, you know, the military, we move at this much pace. So I'm like, let's go. Like, I done knocked this house out. Let's go. What are we waiting on? Like, let's move, man. Like y'all ain't up. Y'all ain't working. What are we waiting on? That's how it used to be. And then when you're passionate about it, now I got an attitude, right? I'm ready to cuss everybody out, but I gotta remain professional. So I had to step it back. I had to step back, you know, and be like, all right, Dre, everybody don't work like you. Everybody don't move like you. You know, so step that back, and that's how I developed some awesome relationships, man, and that's where I'm at right now. I looked at myself, looked in the mirror.
My favorite song by Michael Jackson is "Man in the Mirror." When I
Oh.
went through my divorce, and for some reason, when that song came on, it lit, I heard the song before, but you know how you go through things, you go through life, and then when you hear something, see something differently, it makes sense in a whole different way. When I
Right.
started listening to that song, it was like you have to start with the man in the mirror. If you want to create change, start with the person in the mirror. I'm like, dang. He been saying that one line this whole time because you can't change the song. You can't go back and change the song. However, what you can do is that you can gain the experience and the understanding will come with the experience. And so now you're looking at yourself differently, like.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, man. I eat the bullet, man. If I mess up, yeah, I'd be like, yo, Dre, what was that, dude? They're like, I gotta get my phone call. I gotta make a couple apologies. You know what I'm saying? So I gotta now I do take responsibility, man, for what I do. That's what I'm trying to teach my youngest here right now, you know. Just on to it, man. Bad news don't get better over time.
Bad news don't get better over time. It does not.
No, you better rip that band-aid off, man. Let's go. Let's fight the music. Daddy here with you. Let's fight it together. But you know, it don't get, you know, less, you know. I don't know why we marking time, man. Let's go.
Well, the other day I was talking to my wife and she I think she was reading a post and she was like that somebody said they get up at 10 o'clock or they start their day at 10 o'clock in the morning. I said, man, I would never start my day at 10 o'clock in the
You know about that did by 10?
morning.
I'm trying to wind down. You know how much I did by 10?
That's
You
crazy.
sit there, I did a whole, I got my day started by, man.
Man, we should say that. I said 10 o'clock. That's crazy, but I get it. Everybody don't necessarily get up at the same time, but it's more so of, you know, what works best for them.
Right.
When you discovered more, when you discover how to take a responsibility for yourself, how did you develop compassion for others?
I think, man, I think the answer, I think all your questions is coming back to what I was saying is that I remember how I felt, man. You know what I mean? I did, man. I remember like not knowing nothing, just feeling dumb. Yeah, I passed the test, but I don't know what I'm doing. You know, I remember how I felt. And so I was just like, nah, man, that was a jacked up feeling. You know, so and when I see, especially when you humble about it, right? That draws me into wanting to help you, man. When you humbly, you sincerely want to know. Now, if you got an attitude, totally different story, man. You got a totally different story. You come to me with all that. But, you know, so that what makes me want to help people, though. Seriously, man. Because I remember that, man. Seriously. That ain't a good feeling, man. It's not. And nobody's there to help me. Everybody needs help. Everybody. You, me, everybody need help, man. So like, that's why I'm like that, you know. Because I remember how I feel when I need help and ain't nobody gonna help me. And then you already know people got pride and don't want to ask for help, right? So if it's not being thrown on you, you just gonna sit there and look, you stupid. I don't know what I'm doing. Where are you next? I don't know, man. Don't nobody want to say nothing to me. You know what I mean? No. So that's why. That's why, man.
That's one thing I do respect about real estate is that if you get around the right people, the right community, the right information, not only will you be able to grow differently. Well, quite honestly, I only closed one deal, one wholesale deal, but I wasn't consistent with it. And nonetheless, like community aspect just doesn't go for real estate, it goes for anything that you're doing. Like mentorship is there. You always need help. You always can see guidance, and there's always someone that's willing to help. For the ones that's not willing to help, it's going to be hard to accept the no, but the no is going to help you understand what you're looking for or what's going to come to you.
Right, absolutely. Man, you get it. All you need is one yes.
But you got to go through a lot of no's to get
Yeah, you gotta come on now.
that
Ain't nothing free, man. No, people gotta get that out their head, man. Like, you're gonna have some heartache and pain, some trials, tribulations. If it was that easy, everybody be doing it. Everybody be a millionaire. I'd be a millionaire right now if it was that easy. You know what I'm saying? You gotta stand for the fight, man. I understand why rich people are cheap.
Why?
How hard they work to get that money? Because that's how they stay rich. Not spending all their money, being cheap with their money. That's how you stay rich.
Yeah.
Not just out here splurging on this and that. No. I work hard for it. No, you're not doing that.
One day I had looked up I had saw a video and it was like a Richie Mille. It was like a blue Richie Mille. I'm like, I wonder how much these watches cost. And so I went on YouTube, put up a Rolex video, and they was asking different people like, do you have a Rolex? Do you have a Rolex? Do you have a Rolex? For the few that said yes, someone paid like 200,000, someone paid 300,000, someone paid 50,000, someone paid 20,000. I'm like, you're paying for a watch. That's crazy.
Yeah, I don't
That's crazy.
listen. I mean, I don't mind. I take that as a gift. I'm not paying my hard-earned dollars for that, but I take it as a gift, absolutely.
Absolutely.
My hard-earned money, no, bro. I got bigger problems.
Did real estate help you become a better person overall?
Yes, I would say yes. I think the knowledge I gained from learning real estate, and the doors that it opened, it opened opportunities for me, definitely, definitely. Do I think it made me a better person? Yeah, I say yes overall. Still a work in progress, though. God's still working on me, man. I still got to, master patience, and I know my flaws, you know what I mean? So, but yeah, it has made me a better person. I would say that. And it's a very small aspect. So it's not, you know what I mean? It's very, they're all like, I'm just giving them a yes or no answer. Yes.
Okay. Did the Marine Corps, since you did 22 years in the Marine Corps, did the Marine Corps have you become a better person?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. 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 They did. They did.
Okay.
I got tried a lot of times, but they made me a better person. They did. My mama in my retirement, my mama, when she came to see me, or came to my retirement, she was telling everybody, the Marine Corps saved my baby life. She tell everybody, the Marine Corps saved my life. Because I was just young, man. That's it. And that's when I left.
That's crazy. Okay, so I do want to ask you another question. So when we first met, when I was checking out and I, when I was come when I was about to get out the court and I was going around the CLR 15, going to different places to get signatures, when we met and had our first conversation, what did you think about the conversation that we had?
I was like, who is this? I was like, who is this little young man right here? You know what I mean? Because I peeped you talking from, I was in back, my office, my cubicle was in the back. So I could see everybody that come in and when they want something. And so I was just looking at how you carried yourself. You know what I mean? How you was acting when you was up to trying to get, when you're trying to get something done. And you was just respectful. I was like, well, a little respectful young man right here, man. You know what? I'm gonna go around, I'm gonna mess with him. Because I wasn't like a lot of the other higher ups. I was my own person. You know what I mean? So when I saw somebody, that you know, positivity, right? You know what I'm saying? Respectful, not being disrespectful. I'll go over there and chop it up with him, see where your head at. And then that's when I started seeing where your head was. And I was like, all right, man, yeah, maybe you should do real estate. And then when you didn't do real estate, you joined and started doing your own thing. I could see something coming in you, though. I could see you doing something, whether it was real estate, podcast, whatever. You just want to do something because of the positive energy. That's what made me say something to you, for real. Because rather than that, I just let people come on. They be up there, I be like, they ain't got shit. I mean, they ain't got nothing to do with me. They has nothing to do with me. But that what made me speak to you, though. And then as you talk, as you continue to talk, I was like, yeah, little man, little dude gonna be all right. Yeah, so that's what made me talk to you.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that. So we got one segment that is called Best for Last. And so okay. When I ask, I'm gonna ask four questions and you answer within 30 seconds.
Okay.
First question, what are you grateful for?
Family.
Okay. Second question, do you have any regrets?
No.
Okay. Third question, what do you think your biggest lesson is while being in the Marine Corps and real estate at the same time? Well, either or. Your biggest lesson throughout your career, let's say that.
My biggest lesson was, like I said, just working hard for what you want. And then I learned also in real estate to just be patient. So both of them is always work hard for what you want, man, and be patient. And nothing is easy. That's nothing. Listen, if something is easy, 9 times out of 10 is not good. Because look, if you even take like these free platforms, right? A free this, you can only do so much to it. But if you pay for the platform, you can do unlimited things, right? So if you're trying to do this free, everything is free. Oh, I can learn this, it's free. It ain't good, man. Seriously. You gotta work. So it's gonna cost you either time or money. It might cost you both. But it's gonna cost you one. It's gonna cost you one and another might cost you both. So that's what I learned, man. Seriously.
That is a valid statement.
For real, man. Seriously.
That is a valid question. The last question is, what does failure is knowledge mean to you?
That's what you learn, man. That's how you learn from failure. Hey, like my mom used to tell me, don't touch that iron, it's hot. I go over there and I touch that iron and it burned the hell out of me, right? I'm going to not touch that iron again. So failure, if you get knocked down, you don't make the same mistake. You learn from it. That's what I think. That's what I take from the failure is knowledge, right? Because you failing, just because you fail doesn't necessarily mean a bad thing. You learn from that. You know, just like I said, every deal is not the same, right? That I did in real estate, not the same. So what? Because it's not the same, I'm not going to do the deal. Because it's not the same, I'm not going to take care of this client that has nothing to do with whatever clients I have. So I think failure is knowledge, man. It builds knowledge, man. You know what I mean? Because how else you going to learn?
That is true. Dre, man, I appreciate it, man. Before we log off, how can people follow you? How can they start working with you if they want to get into real estate? How can they buy or sell a house with you? How can they learn more information about you?
Well, I'm all over social media. My Instagram is Andre_Davis_Realty. And then you can just type Andre Davis in Facebook. I'm on there as well. But
spelling it.
My Andre, Andre, my last name Davis, Davis. You will see me on there. My email is adavisrealtor2021@gmail. I spell it A as in Alpha, D as in Delta, A as in Alpha, V as in Victor, I as in India, S as in Sierra, R as in Romeo, E as in Echo, A as in Apple, L as in Lima, T as in Tango. Always in Oscar R and Romeo 2021@gmail.com. And my business phone number is 951-473-6048. Feel free to reach out to me.
What about your LinkedIn, YouTube, any other social media?
Website? Yeah, I have them, but I don't know them all. All of it is connected, though. And my LinkedIn is Andre Davis as well. Just my name spelled Andre. DAVIS is my last name, with Davis Realty Group. So Davis Realty Group, we are based out here in Marietta, California, on Madison Avenue, 25185 Madison Avenue. So you can stop by our brokers, Michael Davis. So yeah, I think I gave y'all enough contact information. Just look me up or follow me with Failure's Knowledge, because I'm definitely going to be following this young man right here to see the things that he does. So you better get in touch with me through him if you can't remember everything that I just said.
All right, Dre, how was it being on Failure's Knowledge podcast?
I was nervous because I never did a podcast, man. But what I love about being on Failure's Knowledge podcast is you made it comfortable. You make it comfortable, and it makes me want to speak out. It makes me want to volunteer information. So the fact that, you know, you work with me, man, you get allowed me the opportunity, and that simple fact that you made it comfortable for me able to be able to speak.
Okay, and then is there anything that I can work on and or improve for the next guest?
No, I think you just need to keep going on the race you're going, man. You know, trial and error, man, you're doing fine. You know, you keep doing it, you're going to learn. You're going to learn. So, you know, like I said, you got your known knowns and your known unknowns. Some things you're going to learn by just going through it, brother. I think you're on the right track. So as long as you stay with it, you're going to find what you need and what you feel you need to correct this. Right now, I'm super proud of you, man, and I love what I'm seeing. So I say stay with it, because you done came a ways from when you was first posting to now, right? And guess what? I ain't say anything. You did that on your own. So keep it up. You're going to be on the right, you're on the right track, my boy.
I appreciate that. And then last question. So if someone was hesitant to come on to Failure's podcast, what advice would you give them to prepare for the conversation?
I tell them to look over the questionnaires like you did, you know, the topics that's going to be discussed, because you do prepare your guests, let them know a little about yourself, and then you let them know what you'll be talking about. I just tell them that they'll be fine, man, because you're going to make them comfortable. Because I was nervous. I got my little notes printed out right here, you know, and I'm over here like Marine Corps about to start writing down notes. But we got to talking, and I noticed you still staying on script throughout the whole process. So that's why I said you're going to make them comfortable. So I encourage people to come on to your podcast, especially with this being my first one, actually, seriously.
Hey, man, I appreciate it, bro. I appreciate it. I'm going to stop recording again.